Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Change Demand Away from Price and Examples of the USPs that Work to Do That. Many small businesses try to compete on price, then blame Walmart when they fail. As the low price leader, Walmart pretty much owns the market on bargain hunting. But that doesn't mean you can't compete. It just means you should probably stop trying to compete on price. When creating your USP, your main job is to change the demand away from price by taking a hard look at the marketing assets your business has so you can uncover a different reason why your customers should buy. And in Module 2, you'll hear the many ways that can be done. Richard says over the last 20 years of creating USPs, 9 out of 10 of the businesses he's worked with were failing because they were trying to compete on price. So changing focus and demand away from that area is one of the most important things you can do for your business. Here's how. You'll learn more than 10 examples of businesses that stop selling on price, how they became huge successes because of that bold move, and a look at how their USPs work to get them there. You'll hear a quick story about a grain bin commodity client Richard had that was competing on price and the dissection process that led them to realize he didn't need to do that, along with the USP Richard came up with and the 80% increase in profits that followed. You'll learn the 7 core elements a USP must have in order to sway demand away from price. You'll hear the power of a USP that creates innovative demand, changing the way people think about and buy in your industry, and a look at a few businesses that successfully do that and how. You'll learn the surprising asset Richard uncovered from a contractor who was struggling in one of the most saturated markets out there, how he changed focus off of price and onto performance, and the amazing results he got from that one USP alone. If everything seems the same, we'll buy on price, unless, of course, something else pulls us in a different direction. That something else should be your USP. It's little wonder why so many small businesses go under nowadays when they continually try to compete on price, throw more and more money into advertising and slashing prices to do it, then blame the big box stores when that formula fails. There is a way that works, but it usually starts by giving up that unnecessary price war. And in Module 2 of USP Magic, you'll hear how to change demand away from it. Now let's get going. Richard, we're at the beginning of Module 2, and you're going to share with the listeners some examples of USPs. What's a good example of a USP you want to start with?
Well, I think certainly well known to everybody would be Walmart. Walmart's the number one company in the world, and they did it by owning a USP around low prices every day. Oftentimes you'll see them run an advertisement which is the average family will save over $400 a year on their grocery bill shopping at Walmart. So they got even more specific. They got quantitative. They got bolder in helping people understand their USP. Now, there's also important in a USP is being able to execute. Well, Sam Walton did come up with a way to bring product to his shelf cheaper than other delivery systems, and he could turn around then and deliver them to the mass public cheaper. So he was able to back up his low-price USP with reality in that he did develop a less expensive delivery system. So Walmart owns the low price guarantee. Well, now most small businesses don't want to be or can't be the low price leader. So you have to think of a different USP for your business, unless you can be. Maybe you are the low price leader. And so they own that low price USP. From what I understand, Sam Walton was able to go to his suppliers and get them to come down lower on their pricing. He was able to get them trucked and transported efficiently to the store's destination, and between those two abilities, he delivered a product at a retail price lower to the customer. So he did just a real good job of systemizing his inventory is what led him to that ability to lower his prices. So that backed up his guarantee. That backed up his low price USP. And so the neat thing is that you see Target building stores right next to Walmart and doing very well. Well, how can that be? And that's because Target has a different USP than Walmart. The USP isn't in the product. The pots and pans and the toothpaste aren't any different really at Target. What they did was they went after a different customer, a higher income customer, one who liked a little wider aisle and a little nicer product, but not a lot, but had more money than the Walmart customer. So Target basically said, you who go to Walmart, go ahead. We don't care. We're going to appeal to a customer that has more dollars. And so they didn't even try to compete with Walmart, which is why they're doing very well. So their USP was in who they targeted, who they went after as a buyer, and that can be a USP. The Hyundai came out with a USP during the recession of 08 and 09, and that is that if you have trouble and lose your job, we'll make your payment. Well, that's pretty bold. That's a good USP. That's very specific. It's very quantitative. They've also got the longest warranty in the industry. Well, that's bold. And that's specific. Midas muffler, guaranteed for as long as you own your car. Well, that's pretty bold. That's a good USP. Visa, everywhere. And then all of their commercials just hammer on American Express not being accepted. And so Visa kind of owns the trait everywhere. And so you can build a USP brand by being a USP everywhere, but also the brand everywhere. You own that trait, which is unique from their competition. Kentucky Fried Chicken, 11 herbs and spices, very specific, very, very strong. People know why they're going there. They taste better because of these secret 11 herbs and spices, so they've done very well with their brand. NyQuil, the nighttime coughing, achy, stuffy head fever so you can rest medicine. So I'm not going to try to sell you a daytime medicine. I'm going to sell you nighttime, and I'm going to make you rest better. Very, very strong USP, and it owns that market. They do very well. We've got a client that's in the agriculture business and sells equipment to farmers that have grain bins, and we took a look at all of their marketing assets. And just like we've taught here on this USP, is look at hidden marketing assets. And we found out that the customer service record in that company was very strong, that the product did not fail, that it did not go down, and did not cause the farmer to lose money in the grain bin because of failure of the product. Well, we then created a lifetime guarantee money back. Now, the owner had no problem with that because he'd been already doing it. If he ever had a problem, he would replace it free. But he hadn't had very many problems. So we turned what his asset was, and that's product performance, into the strongest guarantee on the market. They're up 80% over last year. And so they're just going to have a banner year because salespeople out in the field can now go back and say, you got to have our product in your grain bins because we are the only ones that offer a money-back guarantee. So very, very, very strong. Got a client that's in the contractor business selling contractor equipment. Well, that is very competitive. I mean, anyone can go buy contractor equipment anywhere. Well, his performed better. We talked to his customers. We looked at the competition. We'll get into that into Module 3, and that is how we craft a USP. But found out that the contractors that owned his product had a much higher profit level in their business, 30% or more profit because of using his equipment. Now, that became the USP. a guarantee that if you buy our equipment, you will have a 30% increase in profit in your contracting business. Boom. 30% increase within 60 days for that client using that kind of strong USP. Again, none of these clients are spending more money on advertising. They're getting these increases because of our ability to find and craft these USPs that not only matter to the contractor, they matter to the farmer in the field, but they also are bold, they're quantitative, and they can be backed up by the company. We had another manufacturer that was very good at getting their product out on time, and so we created a guarantee that the product would ship when the manufacturer says it would ship, or we're going to reduce the invoice by 10%. Wow, now that matters to the customer. That's what they care about, is getting their parts on time. If they don't, then their parts aren't on time, and they're losing money.
I hope you're enjoying this session on USP. Listen, if you're short on time and would be open to the idea of having either Richard or one of his skilled marketing coaches help you craft your USP, email Richard at USPmagic.com. That's Richard at USPmagic.com. Or call area code 801-899-1505. That's area code 801-899-1505. Thanks for listening.
Well, you can't just say we got fast delivery. Everybody says that. You see, so you have to take the asset and turn it into something that matters, which is a USP. FedEx was a great example. Absolutely overnight became their USP. So people began to understand that they were going to get their package overnight. And it just led the industry. And they still own that position, even though UPS has come along and tried, FedEx still owns that position in the minds of customers. We all remember Domino's Pizza a while back, with 30 minutes or it's free. Well, that's a good example, because that USP took Domino's to the top of their industry, and now they're going down. Now they're declining again because they don't have a USP that is unique. You can get pizza anywhere now in 5 minutes or less. So there's no unique selling proposition anymore. And they've got to find something else.
They say, get the door, it's Domino's. It's not a definitive USP.
That's right.
How about Papa John's? They've got a good one.
Excellent. Well, it's the ingredients that he hits. It's fresh ingredients. The other good one is Papa Murphy's. There's an example of taking pizza and changing our demand away from buying it already baked to baking it ourselves. So they did what we call innovating demand. That's what Domino's did 20 years ago when they changed our demand from pizza to speed. That was very brilliant. We didn't want pizza. We wanted it in 30 minutes. So that's what built their brand for a while. But Papa Murphy's is saying, hey, you bake it. If you bake it, we can save you money, number one. And number two, it'll be fresher, it'll smell better, fresh ingredients we're going to use. And so they've got a very good USP and are booming in the industry.
How about Apple? Does Apple have a USP or Microsoft?
Apple's USP is innovating demand. What I mean by that is that we anxiously await every year for the new features and the new benefits and products that Apple is going to put out. We don't know what it's going to be. So they are innovating demand, meaning they are creating the products for us before we even ask them to. They're telling us what we want before we even tell them. That's Apple's brilliance. That's Apple's USP, is their ability to tell us what we want in our communication device without us telling them. See, a lot of companies think that they should wait for customers to tell them what to do. Well, that's not Apple. No one's telling Apple what to do. They're all waiting for Apple to tell us what we want. And they come through every year with new features and benefits on their communication devices, their phones, their smartphones, such that they own us as we think about what we want in our devices. No one called up Steve Jobs and said, hey, Steve, why don't you make a device that I can carry on my hip or in my pocket that I can communicate with?
How about Microsoft?
Well, it's the same thing. They're actually these innovative leaders. These are leaders that are out creating new products and services without us inputting. Sure, we give feedback on old products and services, but Microsoft would be much the same way, is that they're out in front with their technology ahead of us. And so that's what makes them unique.
How about Amazon?
Same thing. Speed and delivery. They're changing how we buy. They're changing how we are going to select products and buy them. I don't need a store anymore. I can buy it overnight through the mail. And so, again, it's them changing us, not us changing them. And that is a very strong USP. And so take it down to a small company level. You should ask the question, do I need to change what my customer's buying and they not even know it? Do I have the ability to innovate their demand? They've been wanting my product. Well, now there's 20 other products like me out there. So what do I need to change them demanding? Do I want them to demand speed? Do I want them to demand quality and performance better than just a product? So maybe I need to innovate demand. For example, on the contractors, 30% increase in profit guaranteed. Now we're changing the demand of the contractor away from lowest price, which most of them are focused on buying low price things, to performance in my business for profit. See, if this client of mine had gone out and just kept selling contractors' products, he would have failed because he's not the lowest price, and they would have bought a different price. So we had to change the demand of the contractor away from price to performance in my contracting business for profitability. Once you do that, it works. I think one of the most important things we could emphasize on this interview, Michael, is this low-price USP problem that many, many small businesses have. Probably 9 out of 10 that I work with over the last 20 years were competing on price. They were having to bid jobs or set their prices at a level that was lower than the next guy's. Well, that was making them go out of business. They couldn't make money. We've heard a lot of small businesses on Main Street in America blame Walmart because Walmart comes into town and drives them out of business because Walmart's the low price leader. Well, we really want to help everyone listening to this who owns a business that might be competing on price, that then the task and the challenge is to create a USP that is not based on price. If you're not the low price leader, then you better tell me why I should buy from you. Now, it's clear that low price is not the only USP because Mercedes is still out there, BMW is still out there, Target at a little higher prices are still out there. Nordstrom's higher priced, higher ends are out there. So there's plenty of businesses that are doing very well, higher priced. Well, it's because they've created a USP, not based on price, that matters to enough people. So that's what business owners need to do. If you're struggling on price, you've got to take a real hard look at the marketing assets you've got, these hidden marketing assets, and begin to uncover an alternative reason for people to buy. Otherwise, they will buy on price. If you and me go shopping, and we have three different choices to make, and we have the three same products, the three same levels of customer service, we're going to choose the lowest price. Now, if one of them convinces us to pay another dollar or two, we'll go there. But it's got to be a unique reason. It's got to be a USP that pulls us over there. One of the definitions of a USP is it's got to be bold enough to pull enough people over to buy from you. It can't just be, well, we're a little higher price because we're a little better quality. That's not going to cut it. You got to give me a very bold reason to move over. So I hope that helps, especially for everyone that's listening that might be struggling with this price issue. Don't blame it on Walmart. So I hope we've given you some great examples of good USPs. And just to summarize Module 2, a good USP should be bold, it should be overt, it should be something that stands apart, it should be something that matters or fills a void to the customers. You should be able to describe it in about 90 words or less, and it should matter to enough people to pull them over, and it should be something the competition cannot or will not do, and certainly needs to be something that you as a company can execute on. So that's the end of Module 2. In Module 3 now, we're going to go forward and talk about how we actually craft a USP, how we find what we need to build a USP.
That's the end of Part 2. Please continue to Part 3. I hope you're enjoying this session on USP. Listen, if you're short on time and would be open to the idea of having either Richard or one of his skilled marketing coaches help you craft your USP, email Richard at USPmagic.com. That's Richard at USPmagic.com. Or call area code 801-899-1505. That's area code 801-899-1505. Thanks for listening.